In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. Do a bit of a teaching sermon today on the parable of the 10 virgins that we just heard. It's a parable featured prominently in the hymns of Holy Week, and it may help us appreciate the depth of those hymns if we understand the parable a little bit better. The thing about the parables of Jesus, everything has a meaning. Everything in the story has a purpose. Now, each detail says something. There's nothing in there that's superfluous or by accident. Now, we may not cover every detail of this parable of the 10 virgins this morning, or we'd be here maybe all day, but we can still be illumined by the major parts of the Savior's story. Now, first off, Jesus says that this is a parable of the kingdom of heaven, which is the kingdom to come, of course, but also that the kingdom of heaven begins here, that the kingdom of heaven begins in this life, because wherever Christ is, that's where the kingdom of heaven is. He starts his story with 10 virgins who go out to meet the bridegroom. The 10 virgins represent humanity, all of us, men and women. I mean, don't imagine, sometimes people imagine that all 10 are necessarily women. It means all of humanity. And their goal in this story, and really your goal, is to meet the bridegroom and enter the wedding reception. That's our goal in life. And this wedding reception, you can imagine, is a banquet. It's dancing, it's music, it's toasts. It's all the celebration and joy that you can imagine in the best wedding reception you have ever been to, times infinity. This is an image of the kingdom of heaven. And these virgins are the guests invited to the wedding, just as you are invited to the kingdom of heaven. And of course, the bridegroom, this groom, as you may have guessed, is Jesus, our Savior, God incarnate. And therefore, our goal as invited guests is to attend this wedding, is to be with Jesus forever. Now, before the wedding starts, it says that the bridegroom was delayed. The bridegroom was delayed. And this teaches us that the Lord's return is not immediate. Now, here it's been 2,000 years already since the Lord first coming and still has yet to come again. Why is the Lord delayed? Why is the Lord delayed? Well, to me, that question is really a no-brainer. It was so like Veda and Vivian could be born, right? It's because he needs all of us to be born into this world because he has to fill his wedding hall. You know, he teaches another parable where he sends servants out over and over again because the wedding hall is not filled. The goal of the Savior, the goal of this bridegroom is to get his wedding hall filled with his beloved guests. And so because of the delay, it says the virgins fell asleep. And that means in this world at some point, we will die. We fall asleep, as it were, before the Lord returns. But at midnight, the bridegroom comes and everyone wakes up. The Lord will return in glory and raise us from the dead. Now, why does it say midnight? That means that the Savior comes at a time when nobody expects. Who would expect a wedding to start at midnight, right? It means he's coming at a time when nobody expects. The second coming will happen when we least expect it. But when the Lord returns, we will be awoken from death and invited into that great wedding reception of the kingdom of heaven. So really, this is the structure of the parable. We are invited to the kingdom of heaven. The Lord's return is delayed. Eventually we die. The Savior will come again and raise the dead and bring his guests into the eternal wedding reception. That's the structure. That's life. That's what's going on in the grand scheme of things. But of course, there's one more major part to this story. Not all the virgins, not all these guests actually get to attend the wedding reception, right? We know that there's something going on that some of them, five of them actually, don't get to attend. And the issue in the story is this oil. The issue in the story is oil. Apparently, you can't get admitted to the wedding reception if you don't have oil in your lamp. That seems to be a prerequisite in the story. Even if you have an invitation, you can't get in without oil in your lamp. Half of the group of the guests had it, and half didn't. And so I think there are two questions we need to answer about this oil that's needed to enter the kingdom of heaven. And the first question is, what is the oil? What does it stand for? What does it mean in this story? If it's a prerequisite to the kingdom of heaven, we'd better make sure that we have oil in our lamps. Now, in the parable, oil makes your lamp bright. It shines with light. But what does it mean for us in our life? Well, oil here represents, quite simply, how merciful you are in your life. Merciful meaning, first and foremost, how generous, how giving. That's number one, how charitable we are. To be merciful in this context means to be a giving human being. I mean, it also includes how much we give, you know, other things like patience and forgiveness and kindness and gentleness, how giving we are with all of these virtues that God asks us to give. Having oil in your lamp means how merciful a person you are. Now, how do we know that oil means mercy? Because oil and mercy in Greek are the same root, the same word. They have the same root, eleos. They both come from the same basic meaning. To show mercy on someone is to share your oil with them. Think about how valuable olive oil was in that culture. Olive oil was a food. Olive oil was a medicine. Olive oil was a cosmetic. Olive oil was a fuel for your lamps. Olive oil was polish for your furniture. Olive oil was lotion for your skin. Olive oil was so valuable, it even was a form of currency. You could buy things with oil. Now, in this parable, you need oil in your lamp to enter the wedding reception. In life, you need to be merciful in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. Everyone is invited, but not everyone shows mercy. That's what the oil is. It's whether or not we are merciful. We're shining with the light of God's mercy. So then the second question about the oil is, when do you need it? When do you need it by? Is there a deadline? In the parable, it was only the guests who had the oil before they fell asleep. That's crucial to remember. Before they fell asleep, who enter the wedding. The timing matters. In other words, the time to become a merciful person, a kind and generous and giving and charitable person, is now in this life, is now today. You know, once you fall asleep, as it were, there's no changing your state. Once we fall asleep, that's it. If you die an unmerciful human being, you're not going to suddenly change on Judgment Day. You remember the story of the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man was in torments, and he still had an arrogant attitude towards poor Lazarus. When the wise virgins say they can't share their oil with the foolish, what it means is you can't change your heart after you die. The time to become a merciful human being is today, is now. You know, other people's mercy, other people's kindness, other people's gentleness, especially someone else's giving spirit, will not get you into the kingdom of heaven. You need your own giving spirit. You need your own charitable heart. You need your own generous disposition to enter the wedding hall. You know, others can be merciful to you, but nobody can be merciful for you. One has to be a merciful oneself. And we cannot change who we are after death. If we're not merciful in this life, there's no magical poof that's going to make us merciful in the life to come. And finally, notice with the foolish, there was no oil to be found after they slept. It says in the story that they went looking for some oil. It said they went to the dealers to look for oil. It never says they found any. It never says they found any. They were still in darkness. The parable is telling us that the only time to develop a merciful heart is now. And this brings us back to what we said at the very beginning. This is a parable of the kingdom of heaven. And not only the kingdom of heaven to come, but also how the kingdom of heaven begins here in this life. And the way it begins in this life is when followers of Jesus have lamps full of oil already in this world. If we have a heart full of mercy in the here and now, if we shine brightly with virtue today in this life. Amen.